You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
You're trying to play the Rev?
Yeah, you know that song?
Yeah. I'm trying to learn that song, Bullet, which is like an instrumental.
Wait, it's like the first song. Who does Psychobilly Freak Out?
I don't know. I don't know this band that well, so I just started digging into them recently.
Oh, yeah, that's Reverend Horton Heat, Psychobilly Freak Out.
Okay. Yeah, I got to listen to it.
That's the only song I know, or that's the only title I remember. I couldn't tell you how the riff goes. I just know, I think at some point in time, he goes, Psychobilly Freak Out, which is to be expected.
Yeah. I think if this one,
we're talking about surf rock. Yeah. Michael's starting a surf rock band. Do you got a name for it yet?
No. I mean, it's barely a band at this point. So
it's just a couple, we'll see what happens. Couple dads.
It's just a couple dudes playing couple in my dude basement. Dads.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I'm trying to find, so I've been looking for things that aren't like right on the nose, obvious surf rock bands. Like there's the obvious like Surfaris, you know, Wipeout, like Dick Dale.
Sure.
Link Ray.
Yep.
So like Reverend Horton Heat, they've got some surfy type stuff that's not like.
How about some Stray Cats?
It's not obvious. Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
A little rock, some rockabilly.
Even one song that's like maybe a bit of a stretch, but there's a Nirvana song. Oh yeah, the About a Girl is kind of like a surf rock.
A little surfy, yeah.
Feel.
I mean, you could even do some Pixie stuff. You could get it. You can even go way more modern and do like Waves, like King of the Beach. That's like kind of a surf punk song.
I'll have to listen to that.
I mean, it's definitely like more on the punk side, but it's kind of surfy. It's in the neighborhood.
I want to play a little heavier. Like I don't want to be like sort of too nice sounding. I want it to be a little gritty. So
yeah, you can do some Dave Matthews Band.
I played a Dave Matthews Band song in a high school variety show back. Okay, I got roped into it.
Go ahead and end this now.
I got roped into it. I mean, he was.
I don't like where this conversation's going.
All the rage at the time, and someone can.
Was he all the rage
in the 90s?
I mean, I don't think he was all the rage. He had some of the rage.
I mean, he was pretty huge. DMB.
You know, you should have. Was huge. DMB was not very nice to your city.
I know. Yeah, I think they like. There's an anniversary of them.
With DMB.
Yeah, there's an anniversary of them dumping into the river that I think is celebrated or reminded of every year. I don't remember when it happened, but
it's now a citywide holiday.
Yeah, it's a remembrance.
Oh, so sad, so gross. Somebody, if no one knows what we're talking about, because this podcast has started, by the way, no one knows what we're talking about, just Google Dave Matthews Band Chicago.
River.
Tour bus. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big no-no.
Pretty terrible to do.
Yeah, not cool. I mean, we can assume it wasn't him specifically. It's not like he was like, bus driver, take me to the river and teach me how to unload this. Anyway.
You don't remember, though, when Dave Matthews was big? Like,
yes, of course I remember when he was big, but there was all the rage is something I would push against. I wouldn't say he was all the rage. I would say he was in a pool of many, many other 90s artists that were having a moment.
I feel like there was a moment in time during his reign of the top of the pop charts where
there was no rain.
There was, dude. He was there was so many songs on the radio by Dave Matthews at one point. And then
there was like two.
So many bands decided they needed like a violin player all of a sudden in their band. Like there was like a Yellow 6 month stretch. They had really?
Did they really? That band and they had a violin player and he did backflips on stage.
Well, yeah, because they can't have him playing violin on every song.
No, I mean, they're, you know, they're like a punk, another like Orange County punk band with a violin. They, that dude's got to get rowdy.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe your experience was different from my high school, because my high school, I remember a lot of Dave Matthews t-shirts at one point.
The only person listening to Dave Matthews Band when I was in high school was my cousin. Got obsessed with like one or two of the songs, while also being obsessed with like Green Day and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and every other band that was big. He was just like, he was a hits guy, you know?
Yeah.
He loved Live, kind of a hits guy. Copper. You know, he was.
Oh, yeah.
That CD would come in your buy 10 for a penny thing. You could get the DMB and all that stuff and sort of cover the spread of your music fandom at that time.
Oh, Throwing Copper. There's some of those songs are still good.
Throwing that guy, the dude in Live had, he was like bald, but he had that little teeny tiny rat tail, like braided rat tail. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was such a cool hairstyle. What are people thinking?
When's that coming back?
I'm going to bring it back.
All right. So let's talk about some topics of relevance, maybe, that have to do with Wave Lake.
Certainly more relevant than Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
Or Rat Tails.
Dave Matthews is not on Wave Lake, as far as I know.
Yet.
Yes, yet. One thing that I think we're excited about is the mobile app. We got an update coming to the mobile app. We've been like thinking about this for a while now in terms of integrating it further with Noster. And just to like, you know, hammer it home again, the mobile app is a Noster client.
It is a Noster client. It was built as a Noster client.
It was built as a Noster client. It's not like, you know, a social app necessarily, but we are.
It's the other stuff.
To make it, yeah, we're intending to make it more social, but mixing in music with the social experience.
Business and, with pleasure.
Exactly. And I think we were like a little inspired / motivated by Fountain's recent release of their app, where they went more fully into Noster, and we saw like what was possible.
Yeah, because we were creating
the social experience.
Our comments were Noster based, but we were still not taking advantage of the full ecosystem as Fountain very, very nicely displayed could be done quite simply. So
yeah,
well, maybe quite simply is not a term that anyone but me would use, because I didn't have to build any of it. It seemed simple to me. It's like, oh, just pull that stuff in. It's there.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great. Fountain looks great. And I think,
yes. Congrats again, Fountain, for continuing to make an awesome, awesome app.
Yeah. So I think that gave us seeing how Fountain looked and how the social experience looked in the new Fountain, I think gave us that little push we needed to really like decide, all right, now we should really cut over now to Noster. There's enough activity going on. There are enough people like sharing links to Wave Lake songs and talking about Wave Lake songs for this to become something that looks interesting and exciting. Yeah. So the next release of our app, we'll have some cool new features, mainly just better integration with Noster. Like if you're talking about a song, if you're sharing links to Wave Lake songs, they'll show up in the app a lot more clearly. And you'll be able to like interact with them and reply to them. And it's kind of like, I don't know. It's still unclear like where all this is headed. I think that's the sort of question mark right now in terms of, like, we have these social clients, like these, let's call them Twitter-like clients that are out there and most people on Noster are using. And then kind of everything outside of the realm of a Twitter-like experience is still really nebulous. Like, I don't think there's a clear definition of what outside of a Twitter clone could look like or should look like. But I think our app is, we're trying to like figure that out.
We're trying to see
what's possible. Like, what does Noster bring to the table that you couldn't get in, you know, either another music app or another social app. Like, we're trying to blend those two things together and see if, like, you can make a more interesting social experience centered around music, in a way that's, like, interoperable with anything in this ecosystem.
Yeah, because we want these, like, if somebody discovers a track that was uploaded to Wavelake on Fountain, and they, and, you know, they, somebody comments there and says something really cool, you sort of want the whole universe to see that, whether they're using Fountain or Wavelake. And that's something that we can now do very simply. I mean, even right now, I just tested it for my friend the other night, and he was kind of blown away by something that simple, you know, of just like, hey, I posted this here and it showed up here and here simultaneously, which is really cool. So, but yeah, I mean, we want to have, we're building out just a music app. That's all it is. Fountain is, I mean, I guess we do some podcasting, but Fountain obviously heavily, a podcast app, as that's where it started. And then they're getting into audiobooks and stuff. And we really hope that a lot more, apps and cool things start popping up utilizing this library, as we'll talk about next probably. So yeah, it's just, but it's cool to be able to set this stuff up now and show how it can work now, so when people do start building these other things, they'll have a good place to start. You know, that's, I think that's really all we're trying to do, especially between us and Fountain. Like, we've talked a lot with Oscar and Nick about how we really want this stuff to work together. And I think it's cool how quickly it's coming together. You know, it's like really not, hasn't taken that long. I mean, we just launched our app in November and it's still in beta, and we're already talking to all these other clients and some, and people like Fountain who have been around for a bit longer than us. So it's cool to just be able to see that stuff start to work and it start to click for people. And it's just really fun to show people too, who don't have any experience with any of this stuff. Cause it can be a little bit of a big ask to explain these things like Noster and use words like interoperability, you know, overuse words like interoperability way too much. And
decentralization,
whatever else, freedom tech, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, people just want to listen to music and discover music and comment on things and have visibility and see just, they just want to do what they want to do on these apps. And like, you know, a lot of it is just pretty basic and just kind of comes down to listening to things and having discussion about things. And so that's what our focus is going to be on.
Yeah.
As far as our social stuff goes.
Yeah. I mean, the hang up I still have about Noster is just the rate of adoption. And I don't know if that's, I don't know if it's something, you know, sort of inherent to the protocol or the, you know, the developer, the way that the developers build on it, if that's like part of the hurdle or the challenge to more people using it, or if it's something else, if it's like, you know, something to do with the culture on Noster. Like, it's very sort of, I'd say it's like very developer focused. It's very like technology focused. It can be really meta a lot of times, like just Noster people talking about Noster.
Right.
So I don't know, or if it's a combination of those things that, like, you know, developers, you know, out there in the world just aren't familiar that this exists, and that, you know, the content and the conversations just aren't attractive enough to people, you know, in the broader scope to be interested in using it, or if it's just something that's like, you know, maybe Twitter's like still good enough for most people and they're not worried about some of the shortcomings of it. Like, it's, but I don't know. I think a lot of people are sort of wondering, like, I think, I don't know, I'm one of them at least. I'm wondering, is there a wave? Will more people start using it? Is there like a general audience for this?
Well, there has to be something like there has to be a killer use case for them, for that to happen. I mean, it just, when Twitter turned into X and people started jumping ship, there were multiple avenues for them to go down. They had Blue Sky and Threads immediately, which are two huge, you know, like Blue Sky coming out of Twitter. A lot of, you know, Jack sort of leading the way on that in the early days and kind of talking about it and hyping that up when it was first announced. And then, you know, Threads obviously being part of Instagram, and Instagram has, I don't even know, however many millions of users. And so those just have the upper hand and gaining traction quickly, whether, you know, it's funny because I would say both of those probably, even though I know you sent an article the other day that said Blue Sky had 8 million users or something, right? Was it somewhere around there? Like, that's great, but it's still not even that impressive technically, you know. It's like, and what that number, because what that number is still sort of like whatever. It's like, sure, they might have 8 million users, but if you go on Blue Sky, you're certainly not getting the same kind of traction or engagement or experience that you would get on Twitter or Nostr or even Nostr. I think each one of these things that has sort of forked off of Twitter has just kind of established its own niche community, I would say. And I think that's the thing with Nostr, because it is more technical based. It's a lot of Bitcoiner people are there. Like my wife the other day, she's like, what's up with Bitcoin? Like Bitcoin Twitter, she kind of pays attention. That's like the extent of what she follows, just like five or six people. And then because of that, her like algo feed, ends up being a lot of Bitcoin stuff. She's like, it just seems real quiet. And I was like, well, because a lot of them, you know, have fully moved to Nostr, at least like the shit posters have. Like, there's still a lot of the, you know, sort of more OG people, I guess, are still on Twitter. But I just think each of these, there's nothing super unique about that element of it. Like, the Zaps was really the killer feature, but even that has been proven to be kind of difficult to maintain, or even get people to know how to use it. You know, it's like in the early days there were Zapathons and like, hey, this person's new, give them a Zap so they can get some sats and figure out how all this stuff works. But you had Wallet of Satoshi then, Domus had Zaps in the app, and now you have to run a script to even get that to happen. And Primal's great. I use Primal as well as Domus and some other clients that I just sort of switch back and forth with just to keep up with them. But it has its problems, you know, like sometimes it just doesn't work for me. It seems to happen to a lot of people too. So it's hard when like it's hard to get people to go from something like Twitter, which is such a staple in that, you know, and so consistent, to these other things that are just sort of like, I don't know. Blue Sky's kind of angry. Threads is still so intertwined with Instagram. It's kind of confusing, and it's, you don't really know what it is or what the vibe is there. And the Nostr is still technical and nerdy and scary and intimidating to, I think, a lot of people. And it's lost a lot of its easy onboarding techniques from the early days when there was a big boom in December. So I think it's just a matter of time. And I don't even think it's going to be one of those types of apps that really drives adoption. I mean, we've talked about it so many times. If Wavelake is a Nostr client, which it is, you know, if one big band comes onto Wavelake, they automatically get onboarded with Nostr client or with a Nostr with an MPUB and set of keys. They get a Bitcoin wallet. They even bring 1% of their fan base. If they have millions of listeners, we just single-handedly like multiplied the daily users of Nostr. That doesn't mean that they're engaging on a social level, but they also might be, you know, like even if a percentage of that 1% starts communicating on these tracks, and then that starts showing up in Fountain, and that starts showing up in Domus and these other clients. And that's the big conversation I keep trying to have with people, especially anyone who's still kind of doubting the potential of Nostr, is that you know, yes, it is small, but it's not going to take a lot to increase the numbers from here, because the numbers are still pretty small, you know, like pretty super small actually. But
I mean, what if the killer use case of Nostr, I think this is what you're getting at, it's not social.
I don't think it's going to be social. I mean, if you think of, I think of Nostr as like being the, you know, people sort of refer to it as internet 2.0 or something, because it kind of is. It's like, this is the sort of the identity that we should have, we should have had then, but there was no reason to really. Like, there weren't a lot of social elements to the internet in the early days other than like message boards and you know, I guess there were chat rooms and things, but it's like, it just wasn't as, obviously social media was not as colossal as it is now. And so now it's incredibly important. Yeah. And not only for social elements, but just for all internet engagement, like e-commerce and all kinds of things. I mean, just simply logging into any website, you know, whether you're reading a news website or you're logging in your bank, it's like these elements, this infrastructure that's being built out now is going to be, I see it being super important, just as like the your identity on the internet, Bitcoin being the payment layer on the internet. You know, these are the last sort of two things that we're still heavily on, like old systems. When it comes to, we're not really on a protocol level with those two things. We're just using companies to get through those things. Whereas most of the rest of the internet does exist on protocols primarily, you know, so it's just, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's like, oh, these are, it's, I always reference that meme. I guess, I don't know if it's a meme or whatever it is, the graphic where it's like a puzzle and Bitcoin's the last piece of the puzzle. But I would actually have two pieces now. It's like Bitcoin and Nostr, where it's like FTP, TCP/IP, SMTP, you know, whatever. It's like all the protocols of the internet, and BTC being the payment layer. I think it's way more important that, I think it's just the fact that you have an identity on all these places. That's actually the point people, I think, are missing more than they're thinking of it. Just like people think of us as like a retail product when we're really a business, like a business product. I think people think of Nostr as like a Twitter clone, like they would think of us as a Spotify clone. It's like, that's a horrible way to look at both of those products. It's absolutely terrible way to look at both of those things. It's not the case at all.
I think that's a good way of putting it. They're poor analogies for both.
Yeah, exactly. Systems. And it's just the impressive thing is when you sign up on, if you just open Domus or you open Wavelake or you open Fountain now, you're going to get an NPub. That's the cool thing. That's actually like the magic, because now that you have that, as things come up, you will be able to just use that wherever you go and take that with you. And I just simply don't think there's enough out there to highlight that yet. You know, like I always try to think back to early days of things that I tried out that were when they first came out, where it was exciting. The idea was exciting, but the delivery of it was not very impressive. Like iTunes, I especially think back like the video, like Apple video stuff. Like when you could first download a TV series on your iPod, you know, it's like, it was The Office and like six other shows or something. It was like, there was so little of what you could actually do, but they were, and it just worked though. Cause it was like, that was a bad delivery. They didn't have that much. They couldn't get that many people on board. It was expensive. It was like trying to fit like old licensing models into this new thing that no one knew anything about. And so finding partners for that, I'm sure, was difficult. But then eventually people started realizing like, oh, this conceptually, this is really great. People will want to watch stuff on their iPods and then iPhone comes out. That completely changes, you know, it's like that levels that idea up, and it's just growth. It's just like things have to grow in steps. It's just these different phases. And I think I know you go to nostrapps.com, you won't find Wavelake for some fucking reason, but if you go to nostrapps.com, you'll find a lot of apps. But not a lot of them are being used, you know, or not a lot of them are even being talked about. But there are a lot there. And I think if people spent more time sort of poking around there and looking at these other use cases and engaging with other content on Nostr outside of the Bitcoin and Nostr world, I think things would start to change. You know, it's like you just have to sort of invest your time into some other things. Like QW and Avi just did a thing last couple of weeks where they got off the social elements of Nostr completely for a week and they just tried out the other stuff. And I thought that was a cool experiment to do, you know, just to see what's out there. Cause there are a lot of really cool things out there. I just think it's a matter of time these things just have to catch on. But the cool thing is, if one of these things really catches on, maybe it's Wavelake, maybe it's Fountain, maybe it is Primal or Domus or one of these things eventually get some sort of traction and start going viral in some way. And that will help bring people into these other elements, and the rising tides lift all boats thing will come into play.
Yeah, I think I'm still waiting to see what that killer use case is. And I think like it doesn't even need to have like a giant audience necessarily to prove that it's worth doing. Like you brought up that Office example of being on like the early version of iTunes and iPods, and it was like a little clunky. I remember actually subscribing to like an early season of The Office through iTunes. And I heard a story about like the show, like the U.S. this is the American version, of course.
Right.
And the show was like on the rocks, you know, it was at risk of being canceled. And it was the iTunes downloads, like the subscriptions that convinced NBC to keep the show on the air, which is, you know, crazy to think of that it was like that tenuous for a show that became that successful in the end. But like, you know, I think as long as we're talking about like niche audiences, like there is, yeah, I totally agree with you. There is a lot of potential in a really rabid niche audience.
Yeah. Well, also the thing that sort of sucks is like that. The attention span for allowing things to flourish has gotten so small. Just sucks really bad, because that is the case for The Office, where it did have just enough time to like get through, and now it's this kind of legendary show, you know, for a lot of people. It's lived on and has there's this whole other life. Or like that happened with Family Guy too, and other TV shows, like even Seinfeld. Like Seinfeld was not a popular show in the early days. It kind of fizzled out, but it got over that hump and it developed a fan base. And then over time, then especially in syndication, once it started being syndicated reruns, it really helped to solidify and turn that into a completely different show as it was still airing. I hope that's a good thing about open source development, is there's no corporation sort of saying like, all right guys, it's time to move on. You know, that will certainly happen with people building individual projects within Noster, but hopefully everyone sees the potential here. The people building these products see the potential here, and we'll just keep moving and keep trying things. And hopefully the people that are using Noster now will continue to have an open mind and break outside of their shell, you know, and start looking at other stuff, and, you know, outside of just like your regular meme posting or posting a picture of your coffee or whatever, you know, sort of basic stuff happens there. Like there is other stuff, and start utilizing it as a place to create real content, like content, not to like downplay memes or whatever, but it's like, this is a publishing platform, like start publishing other stuff. Like this is it wide open to be whatever. And the future is what you make of it, Marty, like do whatever you want. You know, it's like, you can truly do whatever you want. You have a small pool of people. This is truly the best time to be highlighting interesting and unique things that you otherwise could gain no traction on Twitter. Somebody at one point in time said in the early days, anything that's worked on Twitter will work here. You know, it's a given. It's just, if that's a thing, if that was like an industry or if that was a genre of Twitter, it will work here, because it was, you know, it's those types of things will work. And I think it's even more so, it's more exciting because there are no algorithms. So at least not in the same way, you know, so like you really can make cool stuff and get some very organic traction from the people that exist there now. And if people start actually making interesting content, then maybe they'll tell their friends like, hey, there's this really cool scene going on here in Noster where people are just making interesting things. And it's kind of fun to follow along. You should check it out, because it's more interesting than, you know, the Bummer Central on Blue Sky or wherever else people are hanging out. Anyway, let's play a song. You want to play yours?
Yeah, let's play that Prosperous Soul song. I think that's a fitting song for the conversation we just had.
Absolutely. This is, what's this one called? Mr. Video Man.
Yeah, Mr. Video Man by Prosperous Soul. That was Mr. Video Man from Prosperous Soul. Don't forget, this is a zappable podcast. So if you dig any of the songs, send a little love, and then it'll go to the artist. So I'm a big fan of Prosperous Soul. They
yeah, same.
They're a little quiet, like in terms of the socials and all that, but pretty consistent though in terms of the releases. And I like a very like a distinct sound. So I appreciate that.
Awesome. All right. Well, what else are we going to talk? Speaking of
more
builder talk, more nerd talk,
so,
let's get into super nerdy stuff here.
So we just, so we rambled a bit about like wanting to see more variety of experiences on Noster. We want to like try and encourage that, and so something that we've been talking about for a little while and that we'll be rolling out is an idea called developer splits. So the basic premise here is you build an app or a website or some client that makes use of the Wavelake library. So there's a catalog of music, and you build some kind of, you build some view of it, some version of what that library looks like, how you interact with it, how people can send zaps to the artists, that either looks maybe similar to something we've built, like you could fork our mobile app and, you know, go at it from there. You could build a completely new ground up experience from scratch if you want. Good example of this is Samsky's built the Wavelake playlist party mode, which essentially you put a playlist in and then it creates a display for a bar or a party where the QR code shows and you could scan it and send zaps to whatever song's playing. So anything like that. And so the idea there is you build the app And then we have an API that we're working on. And so you would just request invoices for the track from our API. And then we give you an LN URL string. And essentially, if that invoice, if any invoices using that string are paid, then we share a portion of our earnings with you. So the artist still gets 90% of all the payments.
Yeah, this comes out of
our usually. Yeah, Wavelake gets 10%. That's been the case forever. But the little, I guess, tweak here is that the developer will get part of our 10% fee. And so yeah, the artist still keeps 90%, but then we will share a portion of that 10% fee with artists. And the idea here is just, let's just see what people can build and then we'll pay you for it.
Yeah, I mean, we want to just keep doubling down on the fact that this is all open and people can do it. That's another element of this. I think a lot of people don't acknowledge as much as they should is that there is a lot of open source stuff out here. And Samsky's is the best. I mean, he just forked Primal because they just weren't responding to something. And so he just fixed it himself and he changed the heart to like a Shaka, you know, Shaka thing or something. But that's the great part about this stuff is like, yes, you can just do whatever you want, but outside of just building the app that you want to use as your daily driver, or to something you want to see, we really want to encourage people to not only realize that they could do that, but they also can build things that might be interesting for people to use and really help this community flourish, like what we were just talking about. Like, we need to highlight all the different things that can happen. Like, if you have access to a big music library, there are a lot of really cool music applications out there. Go build one, you know, using this library. And Fountain is a really great example of Fountain now integrates music, and it's not just music through Wavelake, it's music through some other areas too, but a big portion of that music that exists in Fountain is coming in through Wavelake. And you could do that too. You know, this music library can live anywhere. It can live in an existing app. You know, if you have a product right now and that you're building or working on or part of, if it makes sense for there to be music or some element of music in there, then look at it, you know?
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a long time, about like wanting to see more development in the music ecosystem that we're trying to build. And I think this is us finally putting our money where our mouths are.
Right.
Saying, here, if you want to, like, we want you to build things, we will give you a share of earnings, like, to reimburse you for the effort that you're making to make this ecosystem cooler.
Yeah, and not interesting. Think bigger too, not even just music players or things like that. Like, think about, I mean, you could make a music discovery site. You can make a, you know, like a almost like a music blog that pulls in new music from the feed and highlights that. And you could, I mean, there's all, you could, and we've talked so much about, like, we can't wait until there's like the AMBOSS of, you know, the music wave of the music world out here. It's like, there's just all this data just exists that can be pulled in and could be used to make essentially a billboard site, you know, and then from there, there could be editorial stuff. And there's just so many cool avenues and approaches that can be, like, just think very creatively. There's so many fun things that could be built here. We need to start building fun things if we're going to expect fun people to come over, you know, if we're going to get outside of this nerd centric. And I mean that very politely, because I myself am one. But yeah, we got to start thinking bigger than the nerdy stuff and start really pushing the boundaries, I guess, of what we can do with these things and how we can connect the dots for people.
I mean, I think that's the key right now, is that we're still in a really like experimental stage of all this. Like, the technology works. So like that we understand. If there is, like, you know, the question of whether there is a market for this is still an open question. And I think what we're doing is we're trying to explore that territory and discover that market, but we need all the help we can get. And I think the more people that are going out there and trying new and different things, the better shot that we collectively have at making something that catches on fire and really takes off. So I think, like, you know, it's in our best interest, it's in our collective interest for as much experimentation to happen as possible. Because the more, I mean, I think the more people who are sort of hacking away at this, like, the better chance there is that someone hits an idea that just, like, blows us all out of the water.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're interested, like, we're just kind of doing an early closed beta of this. This is new territory for us too, in terms of, like, publishing an API, and, you know, all the sort of payments on the back end for splitting with developers. But if you are interested in building something on the Wavelake library, just get in touch with us. I think, like, we'd like to hear your idea, you know? Yeah, but I mean, I think we'll be pretty flexible in terms of the people that we let test this out. So just reach out to us, let us know what you're thinking, and yeah, let's just see what everyone can come up with.
I'm excited to see how that plays out, because yeah, I think there's some really, I know there's some really creative people out there, and yeah, I think some really cool things could happen.
I'll just add that, you know, we'll do whatever we can to support the developers that are interested in working on something like this.
Yeah, we'll certainly help if things do get built. Obviously, we'll help to promote, you know, this is in our best interest too. We want this to work. We want people to be uploading music. We want things to be built. We're not kidding. Like, we want, like, literally want people to build competing apps with us. Like, that is what is going to drive the adoption here. Just like we just said with Fountain, you know, like, seeing Fountain implement music and how they've done certain things has been inspiring for us, just as we have been inspiring for them, I'm sure, you know? So this needs to happen. Like, we're all friends, and the ultimate goal here, I think we're all sort of aligned, is we want people using this stuff. So whatever it takes to get that to happen is what we want to do. So,
yeah, I mean, ultimately we want people saying, like, this experience is better than the streaming experience that I'm used to.
That's the thing. These apps, these Nostra apps, have to do something different than
and better.
There needs to be a reason for them to come over, or else why?
Yeah. Why, if you just say this is just a decentralized, semi more private version of what you already have, it's not enough.
And honestly, most people don't even know what that means. Really, they don't truly know what that
or
means.
Care
or care, and that's a. I mean, that statement has been debated over the months. I've heard people say, well, you can't say people don't care. They do care. It's like, well, they kind of don't, though. You know, really, truly, they don't, mostly because they just don't know what it means, ultimately, because it hasn't affected them. So until it does affect them. But even when it does, you see that they just go right back. Like, it just happened to that some Bitcoin YouTube, I forget who it was, it got pulled down, and then, like, started, everyone was like, come to Nostra, come do this. And then, you know, it gets back up, and all of a sudden the person's like praising YouTube. And it's like, you know, even when you're in that situation, a lot of times, if you do sort of get back to where your audience is, you kind of stay. That's why it actually sucks, is because it is sort of like a, what's that?
Yeah, if the incentives are good enough for you to make the trade-offs.
Yeah, that's what sucks. Like, if your people are there, you're kind of beholden to using something like YouTube, if that, or Spotify. Like, you just have to, because that's where everything is, you know? So if that's where the audience is, you don't really have a choice. And at a certain point,
you can't blame people for making that choice either.
No,
if that's where the audience is.
It's the only chance you have, because especially for musicians and things right now, it's like, you have an opportunity. There is this opportunity that you might somehow get picked up on something like TikTok, you know? And if that happens, people have to be able to find you, you know, and they're not all going to go to Bandcamp. In fact, most of them won't, you know, most most 14-year-old TikTok users are going to go to Apple Music or Spotify, and that's where they're going to want to find you, and that's where they are going to find you, you know, 9 times out of 10, unless you're just super against that. But that if you're super against that, you're going to miss out on some big opportunities. At least, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they're quite small opportunities, but you know, it adds up at some point in time if you're used to making nothing. So you do sort of have to, you have to play your cards however you can play it. You just take what you can get, really. And that's the unfortunate thing about it. And that's what everyone's gotten so used to, is I just got to take what I can get, because this is all I can get. And that's, I'm okay with that, I guess, because it's better than nothing. And that's not the way we should be thinking about this stuff. But unfortunately, it is the way we've sort of been conditioned as creators to think like that, because we don't have any power, you know? So I think people will start thinking more along those lines and will actually start caring when they get a small taste of what it can be like somewhere else, you know. Then I think that's what we're prepping for, is when someone does get a small taste of that through the existing community, which is incredibly vital. Like, we need that to happen, but then they also need to be able to bring their communities over. And when those people get there, it needs to be as exciting for them as it was for the person who's requested they join you, you know? So anyway, let's play it. Yeah. Let's play this Man Like Quex song. This is a Relay Rider by Billy V and Man Like Quex and Renee and Joe Martin. Jeez. What a bill. Holy crap. Stacked. All right. This is stacked. All right. Let's play this.
I gotta make it, man. I gotta make it. I want to wake up in the morning in Barbados, in Bahamas, somewhere far away from everybody, you feel me? Yeah.
Shout out to the plebs and the 9-to-5ers. Shout out to the devs and the fear miners. We gon' make it, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah. Shout out to the noobs and the first timers. Shout out to the vets and the relay riders. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it. Tuck the lemons like gamey, then I made some lemonade. Share the thoughts over these beats and found my way up out the maze. And every single season I just keep plugging away. And I kept all the receipts, cause consistency pays. I got people trying to take me out, trying to bring me down. But it's pointless Anakin, because I got the higher ground. I saw Fredo go fishing, but he never came back. Nowadays I keep my circle smaller than a bottle cap. I'm a sat stacking wave laking. Relay rider, pleb dad, NTZ, I'm the non-KYC, sap provider, found my purpose given out, and I ain't slowing down, I keep my eyes on the prize, and an ear to the ground, I'm on route, heaven bound, and I'm still finding my sound, and I'm still making mistakes, but way less frequent now, I see monkeys trying to swim, fish trying to climb trees, it's time to know yourself and what you were destined to be, minimum's not my portion, need the max like Tatum, and they see me out here ballin', not the same as how I came in. I just keep on dropping verses and I'm repping V for V. Get my sats on the hour, they surpass my royalties. Store my wealth in code, keep my sats cold. Yeah, I keep my sats, yo. Yeah, I keep my sats cold. Yeah, I keep my sats cold. Man, you know how it goes, man. You know how it goes. Man, like ooh, man, like quakes. Yo, you know how it goes, man. Shout out to the plebs and the 9-to-5ers. Shout out to the devs and the fear miners. We gon' make it, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah. Shout out to the noobs and the first timers. Shout out to the vets and the relay riders. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it, yeah, yeah. We gon' make it,
yeah. Can't stop me, I be ballin' every day. Cold me, cold B, I can't miss a leg. Get the best right now, do my best right now, get my best right now, pay the bills to stay right now. Look, God is just to pay the bills, I pay the God, it stays like that. I don't care about how you feel, my mind is just on getting stats. Can't afford to be distracted, but fed in my craft, so I gotta go practice. I'm not a rebel, but I am an artist. In order to make it, I gotta be nonsense, and trust me, I do this for real. That's for myself, for the devils to deal. For the music, man, I stay dedicated. I'm the greatest, there's no point of debating. Innovative with the flows I be making. Hate it first, and it's still my new cadence.
mistakes. I don't get why these people be hating. I just be a turn and go pray for repentance. But they do get it, I am a trendsetter. Once I step in, I'll be testing the weather. Testing me, trying to push me to the limit. It's funny how they believe they're really getting me. Look, running in cracks in the booth. You're losing a tooth. You people acting so rude. Better watch what you gon' say. Will not catch a case. And nobody missing your face. Yo, yo, yo. Look, yeah. Hey, we gonna make it now. We gonna make it. Can't stop me ballin' every day. Call me Kobe, I can't miss a lay. That's on God, hey. Pay the bills, got the skills. Pull out with the mistake. And I aim it at you, and I aim it at you. Quicker, this is just a freestyle. I know I'll be swearing, but trust me, I'm gonna make it clean. Don't even worry about it, yeah.
And that was Relay Rider. That was great. Great jam. Great jam. I hope you sent all 17 people on that track. No, it wasn't 17. It was four.
I wonder how many. I think I heard like Real Richard might have somehow been involved with that too, but he's not on the listing. I don't know how many splits there are. What do you, you don't know, do you, how many splits we support now? I forgot.
I think it's 15.
Yeah. I was going to say a baker's dozen, but it might be higher. I can't remember.
A baker's dozen's 13.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it might be 15.
Somewhere around. Oh,
okay.
There,
so on the track listing here. Yeah. It's Billy V Music, Manly Quecks vocals, Renee vocals, Joe Martin vocals, Real Richard mix. And then No Good did the artwork, so we also need to shout out
sweet
No Good for the artwork on this. Go check that out because it looks
that's cool.
It looks really cool.
I love that. I mean, that's just great to see that kind of collaboration. I mean, just organically.
I would call this a super group almost, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, this is
heavy hitters across the board.
Serious heavy hitters here.
Yeah,
great crew.
That's really cool. That's really cool to see and hear. Nice job, guys. All right. What else is going on? What's coming up? We got the mobile app coming out. We got developer splits coming out.
When is that mobile stuff being pushed to everybody? I know Josh
it should be out
talking about it right now. When's that coming out?
It should be out by the time this podcast airs or shortly after. So okay, go check out your test flight updates.
Yeah. See if you got some additional social. It'll just be in the pulse, but you'll start seeing.
It'll be in all over
pulse, and you'll start seeing things on tracks. And wait, are we going to have the new sort of track view thing on this first one?
It should
one?
Be out. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It should be all over. You should see. And this is I mean, just to like, pull the curtain back a little bit. Like this is kind of tricky to do from a UI standpoint. Like we've been sort of like, cause we basically built like a music listener, but it's like the big question is, what does a music player look like if it has a really strong social element integrated into it? And I think the balance we're trying to strike is like, we want music to be the highlight, like the focus of the experience, but there should be like a really seamless integration of the conversations and, you know, like the enthusiasm happening around the music that you can just kind of see and easily access and interact with without necessarily that being the forefront of the experience. So maybe there's an app like that out there that already exists. If there is, let us know. Cause maybe we can crib some notes off of it. But,
yeah, I mean,
as far as I know, there's like, yeah, there's nothing.
I mean, there's like there's commenting and stuff on SoundCloud, and there's some elements on Bandcamp that we've always really liked that I think we want to implement at some point in time. And
yeah,
just like pulling little things from here and there and seeing how. But yeah, you don't want the app to be too cluttered. That's the hard part, because you want all the really crucial things that you would expect to be in a music player and have that be an easy experience, but also be able to highlight this other stuff in a way that isn't obnoxious and makes sense and isn't confusing. We definitely need to start. I mean, especially once we start adding way more elements into the feeds, we need to start being able to filter that stuff out. So you can, like, if you want to just see new music published, if you want to see just new playlists, if you want to see certain things, you can filter that out. because
yeah
that list, I mean, as this grows obviously, and then plus if we're going to be pulling in so much more stuff, there's just going to be a lot of information there.
I mean, these are the kinds of questions we'd love other developers to answer or like take a stab at. You know, build a site that, like, I don't know, does something completely different, but that's really cool and interesting. Like we haven't even remotely thought of.
I mean, I think the most out there version of this is some sort of editorial and chart based site, you know, that does this. That I think that's probably like the coolest potential use case of this developer split thing. Is don't think of it as just an app or something. Think of it as content delivery, almost, you know.
Right, or like curation.
Content like curation, that's what I meant.
Opinionated, like a very opinionated perspective on the library.
Yeah, because that works. Sort of, like create a feed of music curation that can live anywhere, you know. And that kind of thing could just easily be dropped. Like somebody creates something like that, you could easily drop that into a social, any other social feed. Like, hey, do you just want a news feed? And I mean, Yaki Hone, I think that's what it's called. Theirs is more sort of like news feed based social stuff, that type of thing. But for music would be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is like hinting at the direction that we want to take the mobile app in the near future too, is, I think like we're interested in highlighting what we think people should be listening to.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for opening up our API is so that our view isn't necessarily the only one that's possible. So that, you know, if you disagree with or you don't like the way we're presenting things, you could very easily create an alternate reality. Or an alternate version, because ultimately we want there to be just a really rich collection of music, and there's going to have to be a lot of different ways that we slice that up and present it to listeners for people to be able to find things they like. And everyone's not going to like the same things,
right?
But we need to find an efficient way. And I don't think that's going to happen if we're the only ones curating the content. Like if we have, like Sam and I have very, I think, specific musical tastes, to put it gently. And like our tastes and like what we're recommending to each other and to other people, like, is going to be a very different opinion than a lot of other people. And so, but we want to be able to showcase what we think is great.
Yeah.
And we want other people to be able to showcase that too, while allowing for like a really big collection of all different kinds of music to exist on this library. So that's
there's probably 10,000 tracks on this value for value world right now, you know? And it's like, there was a point not that long ago where I was going in and zapping every single track that got uploaded and commenting on every single track that got up. And I can't keep up with this every day. So then I would go do it on like on Sunday. I'd go through.
You'd have a day.
I'd have a day. I'd go through and like listen to everything. And there's just a lot of stuff now, you know, it's a lot of stuff gets uploaded every day. And so, and that's just going to get harder and harder and harder to keep up with. And so, you know, I think it's going to be incredibly crucial that we don't fall into the same traps that we have with Spotify and these other things, and allowed, you know, where Spotify might want to, they might want their algorithms to curate music for you. But the difference is you can't, you know, in order to take that, you're just bouncing from one algorithm to another algorithm. Whereas here it could be an algorithm. Somebody might develop an app where they do have some, because some people just really like that. Some people really like to just be like, play my day list, you know, on Spotify. That's kind of, I just want to play that while I'm driving, because I don't want to think about it. Some people have their own playlist.
Station.
Yeah, exactly. But so some people will want that. So I think it's just important to realize that, we're just showcasing things, and we really want other people to start showcasing things as well. Cause this is a fun thing to play with. You know, you have this really cool basket of incredibly interesting information in front of you, which is really appealing to people. It's this isn't just data. This is music. The people love music. And, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff that's now getting lost. So we need to make sure that that's curated and people start developing applications and they go out and find it. I mean, people are doing a really good job of it now. Like there's some other music shows. I wanted to give a shout out to Heather Larson, who she has I think it's called Radio Detox. Hopefully hopefully I'm remembering that right, Heather. But she just did an episode with Ainsley where it was very unique and cool. They go through kind of track by track of Ainsley's new album and talk about it. So, you know, that's just a really good example of like thinking outside of the box and being able to use this existing technology to, you know, not necessarily create something that's never been done before. You know, I'm sure there've been album previews before in other ways, other capacities, but to be able to monetize that and do it in the way that they did it, it's really cool. And I just hope there's more stuff like that. And I hope people aren't discouraged by lack of engagement or, you know, it's like, we just all have to remember this is a small pool. I mean, it can get discouraging for us sometimes too, but we have to just keep pushing through and realize like, this is important. You know, if we're going to play a part of hopefully changing the way that this stuff works in the future, it's really crucial that we just keep pushing through. So
one thing that reminds me of in terms of the data that's available for people to, you know, make sense out of. So in addition to like publishing our API, we're going to start with the music catalog. So like artists, albums, tracks, as well as, we'll open up a search API. So you could like search by like a track name or an artist name. And then we'll also have an API for, getting like rankings data. So if you wanted like the top tracks that earned sats for the last like 20 days, you could pull that down pretty easily.
Yeah.
So all that's going to happen. But then in addition to that, like all our zaps are public. So all the zap receipts. So anytime someone zaps a track, like that receipt gets published to a bunch of relays. So you have payment data about all these tracks out there. We're also, we actually just like a week or two ago, added OP3, download statistics to our entire catalog. So that includes podcasts and music. And OP3 is, it's like a podcast analytics project. It's open source. The data is all publicly available. If you go to op3.dev, you can find out more about it. But essentially what it does is it's going to track every download of either a song or a podcast episode. And then it creates a really nice dashboard about, you know, how many downloads a specific episode or track is getting, where those downloads are coming from, what apps are downloading them, what regions of the world those downloads are happening in, the unique number of downloads based on, you know, certain data points. All of that is public now as well. So listening data is public, payment data is public. The tracks are all publicly available. They're payable by anyone who can pay a Lightning invoice. This is all exciting stuff. And I think like the building blocks are all there. This is the reason why we're building on it. But again, we really want other people to be building on this too, because I think like we just need more ideas swimming out there. And you know, I think like it's all there for the taking right now for to make a really incredible experience. So I'm excited about the OP3 thing. I think like that opens up another kind of dimension to all this as well in terms of like play stats being
out. Yeah, and hopefully we're going to be able to build that into like the dashboard in a really cool way in the future.
Yeah. It's only been like a week or two, so we're still waiting for like the statistics to sort of,
right,
you know, build up before we do any cut over. But right. so far it's been looking pretty good. And the waveform stats aren't too shabby.
Hey, yeah, that was
you know, we had no idea like sort of how many people might be listening, but
we didn't know we had 10 million listeners.
We have 10 million?
We got I think it was ten, actually. Sorry.
Oh, it was ten. Right. Okay.
10 listeners. Sorry.
I was gonna say
get those numbers mixed up. Sometimes.
A few more zeros than I thought I saw.
Ten micro listeners.
It's more than 10. It's less than 10 million. I think it's like about, I think like the data's public now, so we can just say, I think it's like in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, really?
It's in the 80s or 90s for in terms of unique monthlies.
That's cool. I didn't even know it was that high. I thought it was like 40 or 50.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I had, again, we had no idea.
Wow. We're crushing.
But that's kind of cool to think like,
thank you, 100
there are
people.
Dozens of us. Dozens of us.
Dozens.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Send us a zap comment if you feel like
and subscribe.
Anything.
Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, also a good time to probably remind people that you can listen to this on the Wavelake app and any podcast that's uploaded via the Wavelake service, you can listen to those. I think it's still the visibility on there, still a little goofy, but if you just go to
they're there.
If you just go to the library,
you can listen to them on Fountain or whatever else.
On
home.
Yeah, but they're on Fountain and they're everywhere else. But I mean we can't pull in other stuff, obviously, because we're Nostr client.
We're Zap friendly.
But yeah, cool. All right. Well, we're a little long winded here. We probably cut this thing off, right? We done chit chatting. All right. So I want to play a friend of the show, frequent commenter, listener, one of our dozens, Ryan Zach. Always love listening to Ryan Zach tracks. I mean, especially if I'm stressed out, I just put on some you know, lo-fi piano music, and my day gets infinitely better. But I want to play this is Funky Part from Movement 3 by Ryan Zach. And we'll see you next week. Or 2 weeks from now, actually. I don't know when does this show come on? Here's Ryan Zach.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by Wavelake. Wavelake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.